Greetings, old-time radio fans, and welcome to another exciting hour of classic entertainment as we take a trip back in time to the good old days and reminisce about the days when transistors and vacuum tubes brought you your daily entertainment. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I thank you for joining me around the old part of the radio. Today, I'm featuring two series I've never featured before here in Old Part of the Radio. The first series is Box 13, a thriller series which ran transcribed syndication from 1948 until sometime in the 1950s. The series starred Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday, a retired newspaper reporter turned fiction writer. Each week, he would look for new thrills and adventures to write about in his books. According to John Dunning's Encyclopedia of Old Time Radio, Holliday, quote, ran a provocative ad in the Star Times. Adventure wanted, will go anywhere, do anything, Box 13. In each week's story, Holliday receives a new letter which started off the adventures in that week's episode. Today, I'm bringing you the first episode of the series, fittingly titled First Letter. The first episode aired on Sunday, August 22nd, 1948, in transcribed syndication.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, Box 13, Box 13, Box 13, Box 13.
Well, this is great. Rain, rain, rain. I'll bet even the ducks wouldn't come out in weather like this. But me, I'm an idiot. I gotta go and take up a profession like being a writer. I couldn't take up something easy. Oh, no, not me. I gotta be a writer so I can be out on nice, cold, wet nights. Beating my brains out. Looking for an idea. Idea. Deadline. Oh, sure. Mustn't forget that ever-loving deadline. What a way to make a living. I could have stayed a reporter at the Star Times and had nice assignments. Like listening to political speeches. Or covering the opening of a new manhole. Oh, no, but not me. I have to write fiction. Do it the hard way. Well, I might as well take the usual hand, open the usual door to the usual place, and hear the usual comments.
Hi, Mr. Holliday.
Hiya.
Coffee, boy. Hiya, Dan.
What do you say, Ed?
This editor wants you.
How goes it, Holliday?
Oh, pretty good.
Where's the makeup on page 4?
Hi, Mr. Holliday.
How are you?
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
Hello, Susie. Anything in Box 13?
Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
What a character I am. Standing here in front of the want-ad counter in a newspaper office while the rain runs down off my coat collar into my shoes.
Mr. Holliday.
I gotta ruin my last pair of... Huh? What's that, Susie?
I said there's a message in Box 13 for you. Here.
Oh. Thanks, Susie.
Don't mention it. Say, aren't you going to open it?
Sorry. Not here, Susie.
You know, you got all of us down here at the Star Times awful curious, Mr. Holliday, running that ad.
Have I?
You've been running it for months. Why don't you change it?
Well, I haven't read it for so long, I've forgotten the words. How's it go?
Don't you remember? Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. How about that?
I still like it.
You'd do a lot better with Adventure if you ran your picture with the ad.
Oh, no, thanks. Just keep on running it the way it is.
But, gee, aren't you ever going to tell us what you do for a living while you keep running that ad?
Susie, same old question, same old answer. No. Well, if I'm not doing anything else, at least I've got the people at the Star-Times curious. They'd think my brain cells were 10 feet off first base if they knew why I really run that ad. Maybe they are. You can help a person out of great trouble and gain an adventure for yourself if you call Chester 8945 and ask for Carla Williams. Chester 8945. Carla Williams. Sounds like an interesting name. Well, I hope she's home.
Hello?
This is the man from Box 13.
Oh. Tell me, are you serious or was that ad just a joke?
No joke, Miss Williams.
Are you willing to try anything?
Well, that depends what's on your mind.
I can't discuss it over the phone. Will you meet me?
Of course.
There's a little French restaurant down on Ledge Street. Meet me there in the cocktail lounge.
What time?
Make it 10 o'clock tonight. Tell the bartender you want to speak to Carla Williams.
French restaurant on Ledge, 10 o'clock. What block number?
The 600 block. You won't fail me. You'll be there.
Lady, if it were winter, I'd come with bells on. This sounds like the beginning of a very interesting story. Beautiful woman in distress calls on struggling writer for help. Only she doesn't know I'm a writer, and I don't know she's beautiful.
What's yours, mister?
Oh, I'm looking for a Carla Williams.
Oh, yeah. She's sitting over there in that front booth.
Thanks. Carla Williams?
Yes.
Oh-ho. Carla Williams could be material for a love story or an adventure story. Or maybe both.
And do you have a name?
Oh, yes. Dan Holliday.
That's a dad.
Oh, thanks.
I'm agreeably surprised. I didn't think a person would get such a satisfactory reply from a ward ad.
And I didn't think I'd get such a nice replier.
You're wondering about me, aren't you? You're wondering why you're here.
Naturally.
Well, I'm being blackmailed.
That's a very nasty business.
I've been paying blackmail for 5 years, but tonight's the end. I'm to meet him in 15 minutes and make the final payment and get the letters.
Well, that sounds like the end of your troubles.
But is it? I can't be sure. That's why I need your help.
But what can I do?
Well, you can be there as a witness. You can make sure this is the end. You can see that I get the letters and get away safely.
Lady, you need the police.
Why? To make sure everything I've kept hidden for 5 years comes out in the open?
Maybe a friend could do it.
My friends would be the last ones on Earth I'd want to know. Are you afraid?
No.
You advertised for adventure?
Blackmail isn't my idea of adventure.
I'm sorry if my trouble doesn't measure up to your expectations. The best I could do on such short notice.
Uh-oh. Well, I guess I had that coming.
Maybe this isn't your idea of adventure, but I do need help. I need help badly. Let's leave it at that.
Now, that might appeal to my early Boy Scout training.
Then you will?
I always help ladies across blackmail raps. What happens if your friend makes trouble?
We can't make any trouble.
He seems to have done all right for the past 5 years.
There won't be any trouble if you're alone. Here, reach under the table. Take this.
Now, wait a minute. This is a gun.
Put it in your pocket. Don't let anyone see it.
This is supposed to make everything all right?
Well, you won't need it, believe me.
I thought it would make you feel better.
It makes me feel like a policeman. And I still think a policeman is what you want.
But you promised.
I said maybe.
I have to meet him in 15 minutes. Please help me.
Where do we go?
His apartment.
Far from here?
We can make it if we leave now. What do you say?
Maybe I should never have been a Boy Scout. I watch Carla Williams closely as we ride over to the apartment where she's to meet this man she's been talking about. She's perfectly groomed with a certain niceness about her, except for those twin furrows of worry between her eyes and a cold look of anxiety. I don't think I would like to have her angry at me, though.
That's funny. He should have been here 20 minutes ago.
Why don't you try the door?
It was unlocked.
It might as well wait inside. Unless you have any objections.
Not at all. There's a light switch on your right. The living room is straight ahead.
Say, you sound like you're familiar with the place.
Why not? I've been here many times before.
There's a light on in there. Suppose he might have fallen asleep?
Waiting for his money? Hardly.
Well, this is more like it. And this spot is nicely furnished.
With my money. But at least we can sit down and make us... Oh, no!
Miss Williams, what's the matter? What happened?
By the floor, by the desk, look.
You stay here. Better call the police. He's dead.
Dead?
Yeah, he's been shot. Once. Through the heart.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
He's the one? The man who was blackmailing?
Yes. Could you go through his pockets? He must have some of those letters with him. Look in his coat pocket.
Just a minute, Miss Williams. You don't understand. This man has been murdered. We've got to call the police.
Murdered? What makes you so sure?
There's no gun around any place.
Just the same, before the police come, his pockets. Please, I've got to have those letters.
Okay. But it isn't right. Are these what you wanted?
Let me see. Yeah. They're all here.
Now, where's the telephone? We've got to get the police up here and fast.
There is no phone.
No? How do you know without looking, unless...
I told you I've been here before.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Well, go downstairs. There's a payphone in the lobby. Tell the police to come up here right away. And come back and we'll wait for them.
You're not planning to leave while I'm downstairs, are you?
No. Here's a nickel. Just dial O and tell the operator you want the police. Hurry.
But you'll be here.
Call, I said. I wanted adventure, so I put an ad in a newspaper. And I certainly found what I wanted. Only this isn't good. A man is lying dead on the floor of this apartment. And Carla Williams and I will have to get down to the police headquarters and answer a million questions. All of them embarrassing. I hope she's made the calls. Say, that's funny. Why would there be a telephone directory in a place where there's no phone? Or maybe there is one. Of course, right here in the hallway. I wonder why she said there was no phone here. Maybe it's been disconnected.
Operator. This is the operator.
Oh, fine. I've written a dozen stories like this. And whenever I've reached this point, the hero always finds that he's been framed. Framed. The gun. I gotta look at that gun. Gotta find out if it's been fired. One shot has been fired. And the police surgeon will probably find a bullet from this gun in that dead man's body. The police. Seems like little Carla took care of that. Me, I'm going to take care of something else. I'm leaving.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Once again, Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, right now I'm wishing I were half as smart as the heroes of some of my stories. I've got a murder, strange woman, a strange apartment, and a strange feeling that this might not work out to a happy ending. What I need is a cab, a quick trip home, a short drink, and a long, long think.
Sure is a rotten night to be out.
Yeah, it sure is.
Never seen such rain.
Not so good.
Cops are sure busy tonight.
Sounds like it.
Wonder who they're after.
I wouldn't have any idea.
Could be a murderer, you know.
Yeah, just could be.
Just a night for a murder.
Perfect.
How come you got so wet?
It's raining.
I know, but how come?
My umbrella needs recovering.
You want the Normandy Arms?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's your building up ahead, but it looks like you got lots of company.
What do you mean?
Them's prowl cars, mister. All over the place.
Oh, this is very nice. Carla Williams called the police and must have mentioned my name in passing. I'm the type of interesting young fellow that any cop would like to meet. Especially with a murder weapon in my pocket. Tonight, Mr. Holliday, I think you will sleep elsewhere.
Want me to pull right in where all them cops are?
No, they look busy, so maybe we'd better not bother them. Just keep on driving.
But this is where you live, ain't it?
I don't feel like going home tonight.
I could shove them cops aside, you know. This is legitimate hack.
That would be fun, but don't bother.
You're the boss, mister. Where to?
There's a place down on Franklin Avenue. 1612, I think.
I know that place. That's the cheapest hotel in town.
Yes, I believe it is.
Hey, how do you know about a place like that?
I got information there for a story.
What a joint like that. What are you going there tonight for?
To sleep.
You're writing another story?
I'm living one.
Living one?
Yes, I left my typewriter at home.
Well, Mr. Holliday, to what do we owe this great pleasure?
Maybe you're just lucky.
More research on the senior side of life?
No, not tonight. I'm looking for a room.
A room? Might I remind you, Mr. Holliday, this ain't the Roney Plaza.
Have you got a room?
Any particular exposure you might like?
The less, the better.
I'm sure we can fix you up. That is, if you're willing to pay in advance.
Buck and a half, how much?
$25, Mr. Holliday.
$25?
And if you committed the murder, it'll be $50, Mr. Holliday.
Come on, talk straight.
I don't want any trouble with the police.
What makes you think I'll cause you trouble with the police?
Little box called the radio, police calls. A lot of fun to listen to, Mr. Holliday.
Yeah, I'll bet they are.
You'll be comfortable here and safe.
I'm beginning to wonder if I could afford it.
With your money? Don't make me laugh.
I wasn't trying to. Where's your phone?
The one on the wall costs a nickel.
Thanks.
You're staying tonight, Mr. Holliday?
Got back there in a hurry.
You. Where are you?
Still in town. What about the police? They with you?
What do you think?
Thanks for putting in a good word for me.
I had to. They made me. Look, I want to talk to you.
I know that feeling. I want to talk to you, too.
I can explain everything.
Like a gun with one bullet fired?
Yes.
A missing telephone that wasn't?
That, too.
Oh. Then you're just the little girl I want to have words with.
Can you come over here right away?
Are the police there?
Oh, that's right. Name a place, I'll meet you.
The corner of 6th and Victor, 10 minutes.
Right.
Follow me, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, where to?
Your room. This ain't the Roney Plaza, but the service is just the same.
I've changed my mind.
You're not staying?
Your rates are too high. I'll drop in again after I've made a fortune. Now I know how the fox feels when the hounds are closing in. Someday I'll have to write a story about a fox. Put that guy Burgess and his Peter Rabbit out of business. Hey, cab!
Oh, it's you again.
Yeah, I get around, don't I?
I thought you were set for the night.
No running ice water. 6th and Victor.
Where did you say you wanted to go?
6th and Victor.
But there ain't no place to sleep there.
Oh, I'm not sleepy. I just want to examine a fire hydrant.
Okay, mister. I'm glad it's your money and not mine.
If we keep on, it will be your money.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Say, is that tonight's extra lying up there?
Sure. Want to take a look at it?
Oh, yeah, thanks.
That picture they got of you on the front page is lousy.
What picture?
You look like you was facing the camera through a screen door.
Yeah, let me see that. Well, 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 this is just wonderful. Prominent writer named by police. Carla Williams accuses Dan Holliday of the murder of Harry Granger. Grief-stricken girl witnessed the murder of her fiancé. Well, nice going, Carla. It's your word against mine, plus the evidence against me. Now I know why they wrote that song, I Get Along Without You Very Well.
Well, there's 6 and Victor.
Cruise on by.
You ain't gonna stop?
I haven't made up my mind.
It's like a couple of cops waiting around for somebody.
It's the way it looks to me.
That might be the law.
Yes, they might be.
What do you want to do now?
Get away from here and find a city directory. A chap by the name of Harry Granger should have a home. And he should have stayed in it. I'm either just ahead of the police or right behind them. And if this game keeps up much longer, I'll be right with them.
Yeah?
Oh, Harry Granger lived here.
He did. You the police?
Well, no, not exactly.
A reporter?
I used to be.
Come here, you. I wonder if you're one of them blackmailers.
Just a minute, friend. My coat rips easy.
No, I guess not. If you were, you wouldn't be here.
Mind if I step in?
Come in, come in. This whole thing's got me all upset.
You don't say. Oh, you said something about a blackmailer.
That's what I'm here for. I came to help Harry get rid of those rats.
You mean he was being blackmailed?
For 5 years. I lent him most of the money to pay off with. I told him he was a sucker, but it looks like I got here too late.
You heard what happened?
Saw it in the papers on my way from the station.
Have you told the police?
Not yet, but I'm going to. Who did you say you were?
I didn't say.
You know something about this?
I think I do now. I began to see the light when the city directory listed this place as Granger's apartment.
Can I help?
You might get into trouble.
Well, how?
Breaking into a woman's apartment. After this, I'll use a fire escape and more of my stories are the most interesting things about a building. The man from homicide will be out in the hall seeing that no one comes in here. I'll have to work fast, Holliday. You'll have to find something that the police weren't looking for. Must be something. Bills, letters, cards, that's no good. Look for the obvious. That's what I always have my hero doing. Let's see, what's the obvious? Oh, the living room. Now, let's see, that's where the body was. Nothing obvious there. On the desk. No. The table. No. The fireplace. Hello. Small frame snapshot. And I think it might be just what I'm looking for. My old friend the bartender. and Carla Williams. And with your arms around each other. You know, you two make a nice couple, a wonderful couple. I wonder if they'll let you have your arms around each other in the electric chair. You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Well, I finally made it. I'm down at police headquarters in the office of a tall, gangly character named Lieutenant Kling. Of course, a few things have happened. Carl and the bartender were brought in, too. So much cooler than I am. Oh, those cell bars give you such fine ventilation.
Holliday.
What's that, Lieutenant?
I said you were a very lucky citizen. After what Carla Williams told us, we thought you were guilty.
If she'd have told me that story, I'd have believed it myself. Proving that she and the bartender were married put a crimp in her act as the injured fiancé.
Yeah, you showed it up as the same old racket. Smart woman teams up with smart man to blackmail innocent citizen. But just the same, I think you should stick to your writing and let police work alone.
Lieutenant, I'll have that printed and framed in blonde walnut.
Hanging on the wall?
No, around my neck.
I'm glad to hear you say that. You may not always have a guy like this Grant who backed up your story.
Oh, Granger's friend?
That's the one.
Say, he's a nice fella. Wants me to visit him on his ranch.
Why don't you do that?
Riding the range all day when I could be cooking in town?
Pardon me. Homicide, Lieutenant Kling. Oh, yes, yes, he's here. It's for you, Holliday.
Oh, thanks. Hello?
Mr. Holliday, this is Susie.
Yes, Susie?
Can you come down to Star Times right away?
Well, what's the matter?
There's another letter for you in Box 13.
Oh, no, no, no.
Should I open it and read it to you?
Oh, not now, Susie. I've got enough material to last me for a month. 3 weeks of which will be a rest.
Tell me where. Maybe I can come down and help you.
You really want to help me?
Sure I do, Mr. Holliday.
Then put that letter back in Box 13.
But, Mr. Holliday...
Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. This is a Mayfair production.
Now that was quite an exciting start for the series. You just heard the episode First Letter, the first episode of the series Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. The episode was first heard on Sunday, August 22nd, 1948, in transcribed syndication. Next up, another new series to the program. Dark Fantasy was a short-lived series, a horror and suspense series that ran from November 14, 1941 until June 19, 1942. I have very little information on the series, and I'm not even sure which network the series aired on back in the day. I can tell you the series had 31 episodes, and according to Rusk.com, the episodes, quote, managed to cover everything from sinister aunts and wedding day murders to skeletal phantoms and eerie werewolves. Today's episode features the aforementioned sinister aunt and involves the use of ancient jungle powers. The story is titled Death as a Savage Deity and was first heard on Friday, January 30th, 1942. This sounds like an exciting episode to me, so let's roll the tape.
Death is a savage deity.
Is that you, Dolores?
Yes, Bona.
Don't stop playing. I heard the music coming from the conservatory, so I stopped by. What are you playing?
Just a simple melody of my own.
So weird. I thought possibly you were playing a dirge.
A dirge?
Yes. Or Andrews.
I fear neither dirge nor prayers nor candles burned on the altar will do Andrews any good.
Oh, Warner, what made him do it? He was always so happy, so full of the love of life. Why did he do such a thing?
He was blind. He couldn't stand the thought of being without the use of his eyes, so...
Yes, but if only...
I cautioned him. Over and over again, I warned him to take care of his eyes. But he wouldn't listen to me. Now he's dead.
Poor Andrews.
I suppose you and James will postpone your marriage a while, Dolores?
Yes, I think it best, don't you? It wouldn't be quite decent to have a funeral today and a wedding day after tomorrow, would it?
I wouldn't permit it in my home. And this is still my house, you remember. Oh, now, who's that? Yes, come in. All right, Alma, what is it?
Beg your pardon, Miss Chalmers.
All right, out with it. Don't stand there stammering.
Yes, Miss Chalmers. It's for Miss Dolores. Mr. Harvey's here.
Oh, Jim said he'd drop by.
Shall I show him in here, Miss Dolores?
Yes, please do.
Yes, ma'am.
By the way, Alma.
Yes, ma'am?
How does your head feel today?
Not so good, ma'am. It ached me all night long. I didn't get much sleep to speak of.
Perhaps you should go to a doctor, Emma.
I did, Miss Dolores, yesterday. He said there was nothing wrong with me, but I know better. My head hurts something fierce all the time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll show Mr. Harvey right in.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, Dolores, my dear, you look tired. How are you, Miss Charles?
Very well, thank you.
Well, Jim, I'm glad you stopped by. We've rather had the doldrums around here the past day or so.
Yes, I know. I thought I'd stop by now and be here for the funeral this afternoon.
Poor Andrews. You loved him too, didn't you, Jim?
Yes, dear. I guess I did. I've known Andrews almost as long as you have.
Well, all I can say is I warned him again and again. If he'd only listen to me.
Oh, please. Jim, let's go outside and get some air. I've been in the house all day.
All right, dear.
You'd both better stay around close. I may need you.
All right, Warner. We'll probably be in the garden.
Very well. Oh, Jim.
Yes?
Remember about the lily pond?
Oh, yes, of course I will.
It's dangerous, you know. Be careful of it, Jim. Don't get too near to its edge.
Yes, I'll remember. Come, dear.
Jim?
Yes, dear?
What did she mean about the lily pond?
Hmm? Oh, don't you remember that the railing around the pond was taken down for repairs? Hasn't been replaced yet.
Yes, I know, but... It's been down for almost a month. Here, let's walk on the grass, shall we? Why does she remind you about it now?
Well, she probably doesn't want us to fall into it and soil our pretty clothes.
But she seems so insistent. She said it's dangerous for you to be careful of it. For you not to go too near its edge. You, Jim, not me.
Oh, she meant both of us, silly. She just addressed me because she wants me to take care of you.
Does she?
Well, of course she does. What do you mean?
Jim, I've had the impression for a long time now that she doesn't want us to be married.
Oh, nonsense. She's delighted.
No, she's not delighted.
But Dolores...
I've wanted to tell you this for a long time. But I've hesitated to say anything. I thought I might have been mistaken. Now I know it's true. She hates you, Jim.
Wanda hates me? Why, of all the silly things I've ever heard of, Wanda and I are great friends.
Oh, darling, you're wrong. Wanda has no love for you. I don't know why. She'll be perfectly delighted if you and I never marry.
Dolores.
Jim, I want to be married just as soon as we possibly can. But I want to go away from here.
Away? Where, dear?
I don't care where. Just so it's someplace else, anywhere but here.
But, darling, I thought you loved this place.
Love it? I despise it.
Dolores.
I do, Jim. Oh, darling, I'm so upset. There's something terrible going on around here. I don't know what it is. But it was responsible for Andrew's death.
Darling, how can you say that?
Because I know.
You know what?
There was nothing wrong with Andrew's eyes.
What?
No. Nothing at all wrong with them.
But he went blind. The autopsy proved it. Well, that's why...
I know. He died blind, yes. But I went with him to an optometrist about a week ago. Andrews had perfect vision in both eyes and no sign of defect or weakness.
But, Dolores, that's not possible.
I know, but it happened.
But how? How, dear?
I can't answer that. Oh, Jim, look out.
Good Lord.
Oh, dear, it's the lily pool. You almost walked right into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was over farther to the east end of the garden.
I don't know why we should be so frightened of it. It's quite shallow. Even if one of us did accidentally fall in, we'd only get a bit wet.
Is that all that would happen?
Jim, what do you mean?
I wonder. Come on, dear. We must be getting back to the house. I want to brush up a bit before the crowd begins to drift in.
Dolores, will you play the organ a while? I'd like some music.
Do you mind if I don't, Auntie? I'm rather tired.
Look here, Dolores. How about a swim down on the beach? The moon's up. It's quite warm tonight.
Jim, I think I'd like that.
Certainly, if you're too tired to play the organ, you're too tired to swim.
Oh, it'll be good for her, Miss Jonas. She needs some fresh air and exercise.
Yes, Auntie. You don't mind so much, do you?
No, I suppose not.
Good. Is there a suit in the men's quarters of the bathhouse I can use?
Yes, you'll find several there, James. Take your choice.
Oh, fine. Come along, Dolores.
No, let's not go that way, Jim. Let's take the back door and cut through the garden to the bathhouse.
All right, dear.
We won't be long, Auntie. Just a plunge and we'll be right back.
Very well. Oh, James.
Yes, Miss Jarvis?
Remember about the lily pond?
Oh, yes. All right.
It's still quite dangerous, you know. Don't get too close to its edge. You may fall into it.
Yes, all right. We'll be careful, Miss Jones. We can see it all right in the moonlight.
Come on, Jim. There. You see? She keeps reminding you about the lily pond. Oh,
well, that just proves she doesn't want anything to happen to me. I told you she doesn't dislike me.
Jim, don't you think for a moment she doesn't. She dislikes you terribly. I think she even dislikes me.
But why? Good heavens, Dolores. She took you in when you were a mere infant. Less than 3 years old. She's kept you. Clothes, a fine home, everything.
Yes, I know. And still, she hates me.
Dolores, I don't understand. If you've known this all along, why didn't you say something to me about it?
Because it's just recently she's changed. I don't know why she's changed, but she has.
Well, dear, suppose we forget everything for a while. This has been a trying day for all of us. Come on, I'll race you down to the bathhouse.
Jim, do you hear me? Are you in the bathhouse, Jim? Jim? What's that over there? Surely it can't...
Oh, no. Jim! Jim! The lily pond. His head beneath the water. The lily stems around his throat. Oh, Jim! Jim, my darling, what happened to you, Jim?
Try not to think about it. It's all over now, and there's nothing to be helped by thinking about it.
But how did it ever happen to him?
Dolores, you heard the coroner's verdict. Jim must have wandered over to the lily pond while waiting for you to finish dressing. He apparently stumbled and fell, striking his head on a rock, becoming unconscious. He fell with his head underwater, and it strangled him.
Oh, it was so sudden. If I'd only been a little quicker dressing, I might have saved him.
Don't think of that, dear. We can't help what's happened. Lie still, dear. I'll answer it. Hello? Yes, Mr. Evans? Yes? Very well. I'll come to your office right away. Yes, within the hour. Very well. Goodbye. Oh, Dolores, I'm sorry, but I'll have to leave you a while. That was my lawyer. And there's some very important papers I must attend to immediately.
I'll be all right, Auntie.
I'll send Almaine to take care of you. But I'm afraid she won't be of much help. She's been complaining of headache constantly. Night and day.
Call me, Miss Dolores.
Yes, several times. You were so long answering.
I'm sorry, Miss Dolores. I was downstairs. Can I do something for you, ma'am?
Yes, Alma. I want the key to this room.
That room, Miss Dolores?
Yes, and I want it right away. My aunt has kept this room locked for 18 years. She's always told me she wants no one in there because her father died in that room.
Yes, ma'am. That's it. Nothing else.
I'm not so sure. I intend to go inside that room now. Get me the key.
Oh, Miss Dolores, I beg you, ma'am. Don't go into that room. Whatever you do, ma'am, in the name of heaven, don't go into that room.
Why not? Tell me, Alma. What's in there?
It's frightful, ma'am. Please listen to me. My head's a splitting. I'm a sick woman. I'm almost a dead woman. But with the life that's left in me, I plead with you not to enter that room.
Alma, stop this nonsense.
It's not nonsense, miss. There's worse than the devil in there.
Alma, do you have the key? Answer me. Do you have the key to that room?
Yes, ma'am. That I have. I stole it from Miss Jarvis a month ago.
Then let me have it. Give it to me. At once.
I'll open the door. There you are, ma'am. I'll turn on the light.
Why? Well, this room is empty. Nothing here but an old table covered with a huge black cloth.
That's all, miss. Come now. Let's shut off the light and lock the door.
No. Wait a minute. What's on that table?
Please, Mr. Lawrence, don't go near that table.
I want to see.
I ask you not to, Mr. Lawrence.
Dolls. Four little dolls. Each about 12 inches tall, lying here on the table.
Please come away, Miss Dolores.
Good heavens. This doll looks exactly like... like Andrews. Look. Lying there on his back. With a common pin stuck squarely in the middle of each eye.
He went blind, Miss Dolores.
Good heavens. An exact image of Jim Harvey. Lying with his head submerged in a miniature lily pond.
Mr. Harvey died in a lily pond. In the garden.
This doll. Alma. It's an image of you. With a pin stuck into its head.
Oh, Mr. Lawrence, ma'am. My head's killing me with its aching.
Alma. This fourth doll, it's you, Mr. Lawrence. With another pin. Stuck into the doll's body so it pierces the heart. Don't you feel pains in your heart, Mr. Lawrence? Alma, what in the world does all this mean? It's witchcraft. Witchcraft. Black magic. But I don't understand. It's Miss Jarman's, your aunt. First, she convinced Andrews he was going blind. Then she convinced Mr. Harvey he'd die in the lily pond. And now she's trying to kill me with a headache. And you with a heart attack.
But how? How? They use it where she came from, miss. Where she came from years ago.
Where was that?
Haiti.
Haiti?
Yes. When you've got an enemy in Haiti, you want to get rid of him. You make a doll that looks like him. You put hair from his head on the doll's head. Cloth from his clothes for the doll's clothes. Then you stick a pin in the part of the enemy you want to make hurt. And it works,
Alma.
It does, Mr. Lawrence. Look at Andrews. Blind because of the hex. Look at Mr. Harvey. Dead in the lily pond. Look at me. Me with my terrible headache. And the pin sticking in the head of that doll.
We'll pull out the pin.
Oh, no, don't. If you do that, I'm sure to die. Right away.
Alma, tell me how you know all this.
I've been listening, Mr. Lawrence, and watching. For years, I've been watching and listening. And, oh, Mr. Lawrence,
Alma. Alma, what's wrong? Alma, speak to me. Are you all right? Alma, she's dead.
Mr. Lawrence, you feeling better?
Yes, much. How did I get here in my bed, Doctor?
Your aunt found you here, unconscious.
Oh, then I did manage to get here before I fainted. Have you found Alma?
Yes, poor girl. Dead. Brain hemorrhage.
Brain hemorrhage?
Yes.
Where did you find her, Doctor?
In her room. She must have died in her sleep.
No. No, she didn't die in her bed. My aunt must have placed her there.
Dolores, you know the truth.
Do you, Dr. Seabrook?
I've known it for years. I've been watching Warner, your aunt, for years. When Ambrose died, I became suspicious. When your fiancé perished in the lily pond, I was convinced. Convinced that Wanda was using her ancient jungle powers.
Of what?
Let me tell you a story. She was married to a wealthy plantation owner in Haiti about 18 years ago. One day, she decided to rid herself of him. So, she fed him poison. When he realized what she had done to him, he went off into the jungle to die. But first, he made a will, leaving all his money and property to the baby daughter of his closest friend, a man who died of jungle fever and whose baby had been taken to America by friends. Wanda's husband left his fortune to that baby girl. That girl, my dear, was you. Before the poisoned man died, he sought out a jungle witch doctor and had him make a charm. It was a doll-like image of the woman who had poisoned him. He took a lock of her hair from where he'd always carried it in a gold locket, and the hair became the doll's hair. Then he took a long needle, dipped it in the most potent poison, and plunged that needle again and again into the body of a doll image. The poison was one that brings about instant and complete paralysis of the human muscles.
Paralysis?
Yes. It's a poison well known in Haiti.
He cast a spell upon her, just as she's been casting spells on us.
Precisely.
But her spells were effective. His wasn't.
No spell is effective unless the victim is made aware of its existence. Just a few moments ago, I told your aunt the same story I've told you.
You mean you told her about the spell that was cast upon her years ago?
In an offhand manner. I passed it on to her. It's just a story I'd heard from a friend of mine in Haiti. I pretended I didn't know that she was involved.
Where is she now?
You feel like getting up?
Yes, I'm all right.
This door leads to your aunt's room, doesn't it?
Yes, it's not locked. Here. Is she in here?
Yes, she's in there.
Oh, she's ill. And Juana, doctor, look at her.
The spell she cast upon you is broken now. Your aunt is dead.
But look at her.
Yes, she died instantly of complete paralysis.
You've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.
I hope that episode wasn't too scary for you. You were listening to Death is a Savage Deity from the series Dark Fantasy. The episode was first heard on Friday, January 30th, 1942. We still have a few minutes left, so I'm going to play an episode of 5-Minute Mystery, a series of short mystery stories in which you are a detective. The mysteries ran mutual between 1947 and 1950. For today's show, I've selected the first mystery in the series from 1947, titled My Pal Patsy. Let's see if you can solve the crime.
Another 5-Minute Mystery. Takes place in Green's Gap, a small town in the Southern Cavern District. Green's Gap Hospital, Dr. Melville speaking.
Doctor, there's been an accident out in Echo Cavern.
Accident? What kind of accident?
Two men was exploring, and they got lost last night. One's unconscious. You better come quick before he's dead.
I hope you know how to get out to Echo Cavern, Lem.
Well, Doc, being town constable and ambulance driver, I reckon I know about all there is to know about this country.
Ever been in the cavern, Lem?
Once, Doc Melville, when I was a boy. Nearly got my hide tanned off of my paw. Echo Cavern's a mighty treacherous place.
You mean it's easy to get lost in?
Well, not only that, Doc. It's that cavern gas, carbon something.
Carbon dioxide?
Yes, that's it. All of a sudden, you run into some of that stuff, and before you know it, bing, you're out.
Still, people seem to go exploring there.
More fools they be. I wouldn't go into them caverns. Leastwise, not without a dog.
A dog? What for?
Well, if a dog keels over, then you know the gash is collecting.
I'm afraid, Mr. Gatty, your friend is dead.
Yeah, poor Patsy. It was from the gas, wasn't it, Doc?
That's what it looks like to me.
Why did you go in that cavern, anyway? Well, Patsy asked me to. He never seen a cave before.
How far did you go in?
Well, it didn't seem very far, but all of a sudden we lost our way.
Where was that?
Well, how do I know whereabouts it was if we was lost? We tried to trace our way back, but it wasn't no use. And Patsy started to get scared. You know, it's kind of funny to see a big guy like that get scared.
Yes, he is rather big, isn't he?
Yeah, 6'4". The mob used to call us Mutton Jeff.
And then what happened?
Well, I was a little scared myself. But we stuck together, you know, walking in the dark with only my flash from the car. And all of a sudden, Patsy keeled over.
From the gas?
Yeah, that's what I figured. His head hit on a rock, and I guess that just about finished him off.
Yeah, I suppose you reckon yourself pretty lucky, mister.
Yeah, sure. I figure it was only because I'm 5'3" that I got out of there alive. And the gas must have been just about a foot over my head.
Yeah? And what do you think of that, Jock Melville?
I think you'd better arrest Mr. Gatty for the murder of his friend, Patsy. What was the flaw in Gatty's story? Do you know it? In a moment, we'll hear from Lem and Dr. Melville. But first... Now, let's see whether you're as observant as Lem and the doctor.
Hey, copper, let me put my hands down. They're tired.
When you're in Green's Gap jail, not before.
I don't get it. It was a good story. I still can't figure how you found out.
Lem tells me they used to take dogs in the cavern because the gas is heavier than air. It collects on the floor. If you really met gas, you would have keeled over first before your pal Patsy.
Well, what do you know? I tell you, nowadays in this murder racket, you need a college education.
Solve the crime before the narrator announced the solution? If you did, you might be the next Sherlock Holmes. You just heard an episode of 5-Minute Mystery titled My Pal Patsy. The mystery was first heard on the Mutual Network in 1947. I'm afraid our time is almost up. If you'd like to write to me, my mailing address is Old Parlor Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, BC, Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. My email address is Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. ¶¶